Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to episode 67 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas Donnelly.
I'm the other host, George.
And I'm another host, Kelly.
And I think I'm an amputee. I'm Jazz. Jasmine.
Hi, Jazz.
How are you? Hi, Jazz.
Good.
Thanks for coming on the show, Jazz.
Yeah, so I speak French for a third hour. That's it.
Well, Jazz,
you have to translate everything we're saying.
Yeah, you do.
All right, I'll send you that in writing.
Translate this page.
Thomas.
Jazz, so since you're our guest tonight, what did you do in guns this week?
Reload some 45s. Still not finished. I got still a lot to do. And I play with my MMP45. So
cool. The one that you blew up?
No, it's the new one. I didn't blow up. I blew the extractor off and the plunger and the spring. And I got a mag that went overweight. But I repaired it. It was my 9mm M&P 9 Pro that I had a kaboom. But everything's it's okay, working fine. It's my new gun I bought this month, my M&P 45 caliber.
How do you like it?
I love it.
So with the 9mm, what happened? Was it a squib load?
No. Squib load. Squib load is I would have destroyed the gun.
Yeah.
And I would have catch it because it's almost impossible not to catch a squib.
Yeah.
Because it won't cycle. You have to forcibly pull the slide back, eject the casing, and forcibly put another round into the chamber.
Right.
But in 9mm, the primer usually are not strong enough to push the bullet all the way in the barrel, so it won't go in the battery 100%. But sometimes it can. So when you shoot a squib load, go like a poof.
Yeah.
You hear it like it's lower sound than a 22. So you know that something wrong. You have no recoil, no eject. So something is wrong right now. So. You have to clear the barrel to shoot again. What probably happened is I don't know what exactly happened. I had two possibilities. Either that I had a double load inside.
Ooh.
Or my bullet went in too deep in battery and the casing couldn't expand. And I had all the pressure exited from the primer. But for on a striker fire pistol, I use tight group, and it's a fast powder, and a double load of a 9mm will be almost a nine grains of tight group on a polymer pistol. I think it's gonna it would have blown up the gun,
right?
Like cracked the frame at least. But the only thing that got damaged was the extractor, the plunger, and the spring.
So there's no damage to the barrel at all.
No, nothing.
That's good.
Everything's fine. So that's why I don't think it was a double load or maybe a super load. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like not quite a double, but like 50% increase.
Yeah, and you had a little damage to your hand as well, but not much, right?
No injuries, but it was had a lot of carbon on it, on my hand, and like somebody would hit me with a baseball bat on my fingers.
Yeah.
Well, that hurts. I've had that happen.
Yeah, it hurts, but it hurts like only for an hour. After it's okay, no blood, no injury.
No amputated digits.
Thomas, you know, yes. If you pay your bookies on time, that doesn't happen, eh?
I know what Jazz is describing. I had a 22 blow up. It was full of priming compound. And it was like, you know, when you're a kid, you take your hockey stick or your baseball bat and you hit a concrete pole and all that energy is transmitted to your fingers. It hurts like hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Thomas.
Yes, Kelly.
You didn't really introduce Jazz. Did you want to introduce him? Who he is? He's our guest.
Well, since you're talking about it, you can introduce Jazz. You talk to him so much on Skype.
For the folks that weren't around for the pre-show, Thomas totally threw me under the bus because I never introduced the other two co-hosts. And here we have a guest, which he did not introduce.
Anyways.
Yeah, don't fight over me, guys.
Oh, we'd love to. Jasmine was nice enough to come on to the show. He's gotten his own show up, so he's going to talk to us about that.
Up at 80%.
Well, yeah.
We got two in the can. We just need to figure out how to get them out into the interwebs.
Right. Yeah, I need to find to put it on the iTunes. I wanted to put it on Facebook, on my page, and it didn't work. So
right.
They won't accept audio files, only videos or pictures. So,
Jazz, you're keeping the name Calibre Quebec Radio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jazz is going to be the host of that, everybody. There you go. There's the intro.
So we'll have a French podcast back up on the air soon.
It's half, yeah. It's half and half, right?
No, not quite. It's going to be like 75% French and another 25% English. Okay. I'll try to manage that as best I can. At first, it's going to be hard because I don't have like a system yet. Mm-hmm. How I'm going to do the show and how it's going to play it out with guests or friends that come on the show, because all of my friends doesn't talk English, so that can be a problem.
Mm-hmm. That might throw Toby off if you start speaking English in your shows. Yeah.
But if I can get like bilingual friends and stuff like that, it can be in both languages, a mix, you know. But I use English terms, like, so I use slide and magazine and striker fire, because when you start talking French, because a lot of, even all the French people out there, usually if they don't talk English at all, they will use like a slide, you know. Mm-hmm. It's most of gunnies use gun terms in English. Mm-hmm. Some people use the real, like they're going to say, a pontet, un chien for the hammer and stuff like that, le canon or barrel. But normally when you talk guns, and I'll say more than three quarter of the people use in English terms. So.
English terms.
So even if you don't speak English, you can still catch a couple of things we're saying.
And we can also brush up on our French.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm sitting here thinking, well, if there's only 25% English, that's still 100% more English than the last show.
Very.
Yeah.
This is true.
Anyways, we got an interview to do too, don't we, later?
Mais là, gars, je vais parler français sur ton émission présentement. Now you see, now you have a small percentage right there.
You better not be swearing.
No,
now
you have a small percentage in French now.
Awesome.
So, George, what did you do with guns this week?
I went out shooting. I took
again.
I know, that's 2 weeks in a row. Hold on, we gotta give a minute. Let all the listeners pick themselves back up. George went.
I'm sitting down. I'm okay. I'm sitting down.
Yeah, well, all my schooling's done. I got a forklift course that I got to do, and then I get my diploma. I've passed all my tests and everything else. So.
Good for you. Congratulations.
And I'm
You're not going in trucking?
Yeah, I start my my new job this month.
So, and you have to take a forklift truck?
It was part of the. It was included in the course.
Oh, okay.
I could have taken three more hours in the truck and one more yard hour, but I was like, I'm just going to be out burning diesel for the sake of burning diesel. So I thought, well, I'll just get the forklift course. I got it for the next 3 years. So.
And certification is good.
Yeah, and yeah. It was already paid for. It's already part of the course. So, So yeah, so since I'm not doing that, I got time to go shooting. So I went shooting.
What'd you shoot?
My Marlin did some prone shooting.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
And how'd that go? Sorry.
I remember why I hate prone shooting. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is already starting to hurt. I'm like, why do I do this? Now, mind you, if
you
I
didn't bring were, the Tylenol one, did you?
No. If I had done it, if I do it right, it's all about muscle memory, right?
Right.
I don't get into that position very often. I haven't since Maple Seed, probably. Mm-hmm. So the body isn't used to bending and contorting that way. So,
were you outside or were you in the indoor range?
Oh, I guess we got to shoot outside.
Okay, so
only the privileged get access to the indoor range. Mm. You have to have a club approved RO, mm-hmm. and then that club approved RO has to have keys and coats and access and all.
Okay.
So you can't access the indoor range by yourself?
Nope. You can only shoot on scheduled shoots.
So, getting back to you in the prone position, how was it?
Kelly,
how was the shooting?
This is a family show.
How was the shooting?
Terrible.
Really?
Yeah. I had to bench the gun because I'm like, is it the gun or is it me?
And it wasn't the gun, was it?
No. Hence the reason why none of my targets got posted on Facebook.
I was like, did you bring some? Were you shooting the AQT cart targets or?
Oh, Suri decided to start talking to me.
Did you bring the Appleseed targets?
I did, but because I was shooting so poorly, I didn't want to waste any of them. So.
Now, what about the Squirrel Rifleman Challenge? Did you try that with your 22?
I shot it the weekend everyone was down.
Mm-hmm. So that means no.
No.
You want to shoot it again. Well, that's good.
I don't have any printed off.
The main thing is you actually got out and shot something, right?
Yeah.
And that, which is 200% more than you've done in a couple of months.
Now, did you bring the girls out or did you go out by yourself?
Went out by myself.
Your pink buck mark?
No, I just shot my rifle this time. Last week I shot the pistols.
Yeah, good for you.
I loaded 10 rounds into the rifle just so I could say I shot it because I figured if I'm lugging it to the range, I might as well at least make it go bang a little bit. So.
Mm. Had you ever sighted it in before?
By George standards, yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Some Kentucky wind did there.
We've discussed. We've had many discussions about George and his quote unquote sighting the rifle in. And
is this before or after you took the scope off to clean it?
It's on paper. It is on paper.
That's good. What's your groupings like?
The paper's, 5 feet by 5 feet, but it's on.
So it's a shotgun target.
And I'm shooting at 50 yards, so.
Okay.
Okay, it's a little bit more challenging.
No, it was just a standard 8x11 or whatever standard paper is, and so they're like 1-inch squares, and I was shooting at 50 yards, so it was, yeah. I don't know, I was doing alright. It was shotgun-ish looking.
Well, at least you got out. That's the important thing.
When I benched it, I could get them all inside a 1-inch square when it was benched.
Nice. That's good.
So, and then I was shooting that Federal target match ammo stuff that I'm not a big fan of, because it was horrible. Yeah. I put the CCI AR Tactical through it, it tightened right up. So
just.
And it was cold out, so I didn't know how much of that was a cold barrel. And
just give the Winchester stuff away.
I went on Google and got my bucket of excuses. So hold on, I got a couple more here.
I found that Marlin really
liked
the
snowflake that obscured my view. And let's see what's
that was a pretty damn big snowflake.
God.
So, but I got out shooting. I must have put through, I don't know, a couple hundred rounds, 100 rounds, anyways.
Good.
And you had fun. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I went to the range. I took up the the Remington 597 that I've been having issues with. I lightened the hammer spring, so I got a nice 3.5-pound trigger pull, but that resulted in light primer strikes, so half of them didn't fire. I took the bolt apart and discovered it's the extractor that's giving me issues. It's jamming up inside. So I went under the University of YouTube, tried figure out how to take the extractor off that thing, and you have to take a little tiny screwdriver, push the plunger in, and then wiggle the thing out. Do you think I could get that stupid extractor off? So I'm going to have to put it in a vise, because I don't have a vise here. So I'll go down to John's, put it in the vise, and try to reel the extractor off. I'm going to order a new extractor. I think I'm going to order, there's an aftermarket hammer, and I'll get a spring kit for the hammer too. So that $597 is just frustrating. I don't really want to put any money in it, but the stupid thing is so accurate, I think I will. And then the K22 nightmare continues with my X-Trim. I think Tuesday, I didn't get any notification from the retailer that had been shipped. And Monday, the dog just starts howling. He sleeps with me on the floor, so he just starts howling. So I figured somebody's at the door, so I run to the door.
Just hold on. You sleep on the floor?
I was just going to say that.
So the dog sleeps beside me on the floor.
You still sleep on the floor?
So you're sleeping on the floor?
Well, technically, my bed is on the floor. I don't have the bed on a frame, so I'm only 2 feet off the floor.
Oh, okay.
He sleeps beside me, but if you ring the doorbell, he's the best alarm system you've ever heard when you get a 100-pound German short hair pointer jumping on your bed and howling. So I run to the door, and of course, I realize I don't have any clothes on, so I have to stick my head outdoors. And I'll be right there, and I have to run back and get my clothes, put some pants on. Out the door, and I'm just pulling up my jeans, and it's Canpar. They've got a package for me. So I'm really excited because I wasn't expecting it to arrive at all. And when I opened it up, guess what I got?
Your K22 X-Trim.
I did, but it wasn't a new in-the-box K22 X-Trim. The distributor, once again, sent me a...
used one.
A used one.
Oh, how nice.
So I was, of course, I was livid, and I contracted the retailer, and it's through no fault of the retailer, because when he sent back the first one, he was promised a new in the box. So when I told him I got another used one, he was quite upset. I think what it is the distributor's no longer carrying the Grand Powers, so he's getting a lot of his range rentals coming back. And when the retailer called him, he apologized again and said that he didn't have any more new ones to offer me. So the retailer did me a big solid. I was offered a couple different options. He apologized profusely because it shouldn't have happened the first time, never mind the second time. He offered me the gun at his cost, which was ridiculously low. I won't say what he offered me, but it was a really good deal. And he would refund the difference if I wanted. Or I could wait and order a new one. And I decided that I really want the X-Trim. So I said, you know, wait till you get your order in from Grand Power, and I'll take the new X-Trim. So NAS has been great to me. I've got no problems with the retailer at all. He's gone above and beyond. He even threw a couple of freebies in with the case, too. So he's going to send me a new one once the order comes in from Grand Power. And then I also got a message from him the next day. Those short-barreled Uzcons are now in. So the gun that I won from the Facebook contest should be arriving next week. So good stuff.
Hey.
I'm looking forward to that.
That's the two of us that won Facebook contests.
Mm-hmm. You we won the BR-99.
Yeah, we should actually. People who are listening and our Facebook contests, apparently people win.
That's cool, the BR-99.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Well, that was...
Are you going to have the modified version or not modified version?
Well, see, that was one of the things I was thinking, because I've got this credit. He's either going to refund me my full price or give me the gun at the discount and refund the difference. Uh-huh. I was thinking, you know, well, maybe I'll just take a BR-99 instead and just pay the difference. But I'm going to wait till actually Kelly gets hers and play with it and see if I like it or not. But I don't need another shotgun. I've got 6 or 7 in the safe already.
Yeah, you don't need another one.
Plus the one that I won. So
these are cool.
I don't know, if it came in a 20 gauge, I might think about it. I've got a whole safe full of 12 gauges. I wouldn't mind another 20 gauge though.
I don't have any shotguns.
It does look cool.
So
does look cool.
Yeah.
What about you, Kelly? What'd you do with guns this week?
This week I went to the range a couple times. Went to indoor range once or twice. I think twice, and I really like it because it's warm, it's nice, and everything. The only problem is it's only a 20-yard, so when I sighted in my rifle, it was good. And I have my Aguila high velocity, which I love. and all that. But again, I'm sighting it in for 20 yards. So today we went to the range, and we went to the outdoor range this time. It was really nice when we got there. It was plus 2 degrees, but within a few hours it was minus 3 degrees. And the wind picked up, and it was snowing and that as well. So I recognize that I'm a fair weather shooter. And but
it comes with age. The older you get, the more you hate shooting outside.
Kevin, laughed. Sorry, go ahead.
That's something very important to acknowledge. Because if you're gonna be in denial about it and then force yourself to shoot crappy weather, it's end up gonna be becoming miserable for you.
I'll shoot
in minus 20 weather. I don't care. I'll bundle up. If I got cover over me, I'll shoot in the rain. Mm-hmm. I'll shoot in any weather. I don't really bother me, but.
Well, I was shooting after Kevin got done, and I was really bundled up well today. My feet weren't cold. My fingers were cold by the time we were, after a couple hours, my fingers did get cold. But the rest of me, I was fine. And as I said, I was shooting after Kevin got done. My groupings today were fabulous. So the outdoor range, we were at the 25 yards, and we were practicing AQTs, just basically prone position. I felt better outside in the prone position than I did in the indoor range. Also in the seated position, it was my knees, or I had an operation on one of my knees. So I was feeling it when I was on the indoor ranges, but today it was fabulous. And I had really good groupings, one on top of the other. Group placement, shot placement was pretty good as well. I did notice one thing, though. My NPOA on the first shot, I really have to work on that. But after that, yeah, it was good. I'm good to go. And I want to continue, actually, to shoot outside. We'll go inside and shoot a little bit, but I really want to continue outside, especially if I'm going to be going to Michigan in a couple of months. And, you know, beginning of March in Michigan, it's not that nice. I know I'm going to freeze my butt off anyway, so I just have to suck it up and shoot outside. And that. So, and there's one more thing.
Your AR build.
Yeah. So, Kevin was listening to the last week's show, and he said, have you looked at your AR? I said, no. And he transferred it to me, so it was the first thing that he transferred over for my RPAL. And I've never looked at it. I've been using the pistol, and I've been using my 22. I have not looked at the AR at all. And so one of my goals for 2016 was to have a complete AR. It's almost complete. The only thing that I'm missing is the bolt carrier group and the optics. So, you know what? I can probably make that happen.
That's more than George has done.
I know.
What type of optics are you thinking about?
I don't know. I'll probably throw in I'll go and see what kind of deal I can get from my friends.
But what do you like better? You want a red dot? Red dot type of optic, or you want more of a, like, I don't know how to say it in English, more hunting scope
with a
crosshair?
Crosshair reticle?
Yeah.
I will probably get a red dot on it. I don't have any red dots. Then I can say, I can be like Thomas and say, I have to
change them around.
No, I'm kidding. Probably a red dot, yeah. So,
I would like is a 1-4 scope with an illuminated reticle with a red dot in the reticle, so you got both of both worlds.
Reticle?
Well, the middle of the crosshairs has a little tiny red dot, so you can use just the red dot, or you can use the crosshairs.
Okay. So you can put on the light for the red dot or close it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't have $800 for the optics that I like.
Yeah. They're a little expensive.
I'm still trying to get a stock buffer tube, buffer, and buffer spring. I haven't heard back from Goebbels, so the dude at Goebbels, I hope you're calling me this week. Not that you probably listen, but
you need to poke him.
Give him a poke. Well, I forgot to ask the guy his name, so when I call up, I gotta go, yeah, the guy with the big bushy gray mustache and glasses works behind the gun counter.
You know what?
You just described almost every guy that works behind the gun counter.
they probably won't forget you because you're probably the only guy that's ordering parts for the AR from that place.
Yeah, it's it was almost like I was asking him to perform some sort of chore. It's like AR parts, AR. They're not a tactical store.
No, sorry,
they do what they do very, very well, and like you want trap guns, you want any hunting stuff, you want reloading, you know. They do what they do well, and what they are not is a tactical store. It just that's not where they focus their attention on. So I'm not trying to slam Goldbulls. I like them. I shop there. I shop at both places in London. So I'm not trashing on them. But yeah, a tactical store they are not.
Well, I've been on their website. They're more of a hunting, target shooting type of store.
He says to me, he goes, "I'm not sure what we have for AR parts. I think we have a couple." I'm like, yeah, you have a buffer. He goes, "Is that it?" I'm like, I was just over there. You have a buffer. That's
what
it.
Type of buffer is it?
I don't
is it
even
mil-spec?
Was think... it mil-spec? Yeah.
It might have been. I'm not even sure. I saw there was a buffer there, and I'm like, okay, great. That's like one of the four pieces I need. But okay. There's like nothing else. So.
You just want to use. You want to be able to use your gift certificate. That's all.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know what? And like I said, there's other things in the store that I can buy. Like that's where I go for all my reloading stuff. And generally, I love them because they're right, but almost right beside the range. So if you get to the range, or you're on the way to the range, you need to pick up ammo. They're good for that too. But
okay.
So yeah, I'm a long ways away, but I got a whole year to get there. Yeah.
Well, hopefully you get it
thumbs up,
done within another year. Okay, so guns in the news this week. There hasn't been much guns in the news in Canada. We've gone through, and there's just not much happening, which is a good thing. I did have one of our listeners in the States ask me about what is entailed into bringing the guns into Canada for the charity shoot. So I went on the RCMP website, and we'll just discuss a little bit what is required in order for a non-resident to bring the guns into Canada. First of all, I spoke to Styx, and I asked him what he had to do. Besides the foregoing stuff that I'm going to mention, you also have to get an ATT if it's a restricted firearm. So you have to call the Canadian Firearm Center and let them know that it's going to be a restricted firearm. They're going to ask, set up an ATT for you, and they more or less want an itinerary of what you're doing. They're going to want to know where you're staying. So if you're booking a hotel room for your stay, you're going to have to get the address for the hotel room. And they're also going to require the address to the range. So the hotel room will be your residence for your stay, and then your ATT will be from the hotel room to the range and back to a hotel room. If it's non-restricted, non-residents have two options for meeting the Canadian licensing requirements. Option one is that you have to declare the firearm in writing to a custom officer at the point of entry into Canada. So don't try to go through the border without declaring it, or you're going to be thrown in jail. Using the non-resident firearm declaration form, if you have more than three firearms, you have to use a non-resident firearm declaration continuation sheet and to add everything to the form. The declaration should be filled out prior to arriving at the point of entry in order to save time. However, it should not be signed before arriving at the point of entry, as the Canadian Border Servicy at Custom will have to witness the signature. The confirmation declaration has cost a flat fee of $25, so it's not too bad, regardless of the number of firearms it's listed on it. And it's valid only for the person who signs it and only for the firearms listed on the declaration. So if your spouse is bringing in their own firearms, they should actually declare them and do their own forms separately. Once the declaration has been confirmed by the border custom officer, it acts as a license for the owner, and it's valid for 60 days. And the declaration can be renewed for free, providing it is renewed before it expires. So if you're staying a little bit longer, you can get an extension on the permit. By contacting the chief firearms officer, and just call the main 1-800-731-4000 number, and they'll just direct you to the relevant province or territory. Option two, you actually get a Canadian firearms license. You can apply for your PAL. You have to have, you used to be able to challenge the test, Can't do it now. So if you're a non-resident, you will have to come up and actually take the Canadian Firearm Safety Course and test, because there's no other country actually meets our requirements. Just contact the CFO of the province or territory that you want to visit. If you're planning to coming up here competing on a continuing basis, it's not a bad idea to get your firearms license, and you won't have to go through this every time you come up there. Because with your Canadian firearms license, there's no need to compete or fill in the non-resident declaration form. However, an oral declaration still must be made by the custom officer when you bring it in. The other story we have in the news is the petition for the long gun registry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Kelly?
Okay, so we put this in. One reason is because of everything that's been going on in Quebec with the long gun registry, but also because of the fact, Jazz, you're on tonight, so yeah, we can talk about it a little bit in a minute. So, So Thomas actually put this in, so I'll just read it. This is the actual petition. So a new petition to stop the Quebec Long Gun Registry, opposition to Bill 64, an act respecting the registration of firearms. So this is what it says. Whereas firearms and prohibited weapons continue to be recorded, whereas many Quebecers, owners or not of firearms, are unfavorable to the establishment of a Quebec registry of long guns, whereas the list of persons entitled to possess weapons is available to police officers, whereas the examination of homicide data available to Statistics Canada has failed to demonstrate any benefit linked to a Canadian law on firearms adopted between 1974 and 2008, including the decreased federal registry or deceased federal registry of long guns. Sorry about that. Whereas Dolphin judgment recognizes that police forces across the country operate without a register of hunting weapons since October 2012, and that nothing indicates to me that resulted in a serious injury or irreparable harm. Considering the financial disaster of the late Canadian Registry of Long Guns, considering the suspicions of collusion in computer contracts, whereas Quebec is in times of budgetary rigor, that resources are limited, as the needs are unlimited, and that money can be better used. We ask the government of Quebec to renounce Bill number 64, aimed inter alia the creation of Quebec Registry of Long Guns, to hold public hearings allowing Quebecers to be heard on the subject, whether of gun owners or not, and manage public resources responsibly for efficiency rather than to the satisfaction of pressure groups. So the deadline for this is March 2016. I think that at some we should be able to put in the link to it as well, because of the fact that anybody, doesn't matter whether you're in Quebec or not, can actually sign this.
Do we have a link?
There is a link on our Facebook page, but we should.
Yeah, it's on the Assemblée Nationale.
Right, so we'll actually put it in, and people can actually sign the petition. So, does anybody want to chit chat about that while I look up the petition?
Yeah, there's 14,000 people that signed already, so we need a lot more. So the more signature, the best it's going to be, because there's one independent politician, woman, Sylvie Roy, who's going to deposit that petition at the Assemblée Nationale there. So she's the only one standing up for gun owners in Quebec. So she's going to drop it off, like, in person. So it's very important to support her.
On the last couple of shows, it's not the Quebecers that want the registry, it's the politicians. Of all the polls they've taken, 95 or 96% of Quebecers don't want the registry. It's just the elite in Quebec City, Montreal, that want to put it in. The residents
don't.
Yeah,
it's because they think that Quebec is Montreal, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
If you take a poll in Montreal, maybe you're going to have more people, but Quebec is a very, very big province. And I'm sure of it, and I'm telling you that it's not the thought of all the other people outside of Montreal.
You know, Jazz and I were discussing this a couple of days ago, and if you don't register your firearm, They're going to levy a $5,000 fine if you get caught with an unregistered firearm.
It's cloudy how they're going to do that, but I think it's on the, I read a bit about the section of the law. I think it's if you violate like chapter 8, and if you cannot produce a registry immatriculation of your firearms, you can be fined to, I think, to $100 to $300. And it's very, very, it doesn't make any sense how they, and they, I don't think they can enforce it, you know?
Well, how could they say, for example, you just say, well, I borrowed this from Thomas in Ontario, and there's no registration certificate for me for Ontario, so how can they expect you to produce it?
They can't, you know? That's why it's never going to work, because we're all Canadians, and we all look up to the firearms, Federal Firearms Act. So I can borrow. You live in Ontario, Thomas. I can borrow all your non-restricted as I want from your house, and I can use them because I'm licensed gun owner. All right. So there's no way they can enforce that. The only thing that they probably can do is seize the gun for 90 days. If you get caught, you know, if you get caught and say, okay, it's my friend in Ontario and stuff like that, they can seize it. And if there's no criminal charge, they have to give it back to you, but after 90 days. So you can, like, lose temporarily your guns for 90 days. And they will have to give it back to you because they're not going to put any criminal charge because you did nothing illegal.
Well, that was another thing, that any charges that they would be laying against you wouldn't be under the Firearms Act. They wouldn't be criminal charges because it's a civil thing. It's not a criminal charge.
No, because they can't, because the Firearms Act is federal, and it's a federal jurisdiction. So this is a provincial matter, and they cannot annex law on the Firearms Act. You know, so if you get caught, because the thing is, too, if you buy a gun, what's going to hurt the most is going to be gun shops. Retailers of firearms in Quebec, because people are going to go buy their guns elsewhere in the province. You know what I mean? So they're not going to sell any more guns.
That's true.
So because they will have to, each time that somebody buys a gun in Quebec, they're going to put on the registry right away as soon as you pay the gun. So there's no way that you cannot register it. It's going to be before he's going to give you the rifle or the non-restricted firearm. They're going to note it into the book of the registry of the Quebec. So there's no way you cannot, like, not register it when you buy brand new. So people who wants to challenge that and doesn't want to comply or do a civil disobedience or something like that, they're going to go buy rifles, non-restricted firearms in other provinces. They won't, like, put it into a registry.
I can see that happening. I really can. Yeah. Because it's easier just to drive an hour out of province and get something and not have
internet.
Registration.
Internet, you order, and they drop to your door.
That's true, too. I never thought about that, because how are they going to control anything coming in from out of province if it's done on internet sales?
Well, you buy a gun, like, for any retailer from out of province, it's going to, like, Post Canada, going to deliver it to your door. So, internet power of the internet.
Now, they're encouraging people to register them online with no fee. And the estimated cost of the program was, what, something like $15 or $25 million?
That's what they say. They say $17 million, and sometimes it was like $32 million. But we all know that when government says it's going to cost that much money, it's like 10 times that. So and you're gonna have a huge, huge part of people who's not gonna comply. So it's gonna be a one nightmare for the Quebec government to handle that that matter, because, like I said before, you go out shooting and you can use a gun, all right, and I can borrow a gun. So, and in legal term, if I buy a gun, let's say in Ontario, and I bring it back to Quebec, I have 45 days to register it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So if I say, oh, I'm going to borrow Kelly's new BR-99, so I'm going to go to her
sure.
house.
Welcome.
and borrow her BA-99, shoot at my range for, I don't know, two, 3 weeks. And if I get caught or something like that, they say, ah, it's not mine, it's my friend in Ontario, and bring it back to her again. It's less than 45 days, and like, let's say 6 months later, borrow it again. I have another, you know? And so it's gonna be a nightmare to enforce. I don't know how they're going to do it.
And I can't see how they can enforce it, because no, unless you either. Actually go to the ranges or stop people while they're hunting or...
But the thing is... what they can do, it's going to force people to go shoot guns at the gravel pits, because what they're going to do, I think they're already starting to do that before. They're going to have a pad, and when you go to a gun range in Quebec, you will have to write your serial number of your non-restricted you're shooting at the range.
Really?
Yeah. So that can hurt, because if you go to the your gun range in Quebec, they will ask you to insert your registry of your firearms. If it's not, probably they won't let you shoot there, because they take the CFO is going to take their license. You know what I mean? Mm. So they can have us with that, but what it's going to do is people are going to go shoot everywhere in gravel pits and unsafe areas, and you can have more problem that it's going to be more problem than before. Know what I mean? It's people going to be not in a safe environment and shooting guns, and maybe going to have some accident somewhere, someplace, you know?
You know, people in other provinces complain about their CFO, but Quebec has it worse than any other province. Like you have to pay, and we were talking last time you were on the show, there's an extra fee you have to pay every year.
A fee for like what?
For your to go to your range, for your restricted range, you also have to pay an extra, was it $45 or $80 a year? And if you don't do it again, you have to pay again every year?
Oh, you mean the Law 9? No, yeah.
Yes, Law 9.
Yeah, the Law 9, yeah. That's another stupid law that came in that doesn't do anything for public safety or doesn't save anyone. It was political gains, you know. Mm-hmm. So that one passed, and we're stuck with it. But the thing is, if that registry passed again, we're going to be after that's going to be something else. You know, it has to stop. You know, people are it's collectively madness of all those anti-gunners that think that. Guns go out from they're safe and start shooting everybody, you know. So they think by using a registry. But the thing is, there too, is a lot of people think that the registry, it's a permit to buy guns. Because if people knew that the registry, if they read the law and what it does, because nobody's going to read it, who has no interest in that, but a lot of people think that the registry is a right to buy weapons. So that side, they're all in favor of that when they ask a question or a poll, because it didn't say it permits you to buy a weapon. It's only like put a registry to know what a gun owner has, and he right. already has a license. But a lot of people in Quebec think that the registry is a permit to buy guns. So they say if we put a registry in, then we're going to take gun off the streets.
So is that what the media is implying that it is, and misinforming the public?
They're not misinforming the public, but they don't say the real truth. Like they won't say to the people, they're not going to say, the government not going to say to the people, the registry is not a law to stop somebody to buy guns. You know what I mean? Or it's a lot to... they're not going to go in details. They're just going to say... they leave it that way, the most non-informed, so people can make their own talk, you know?
Misinformation by lack of information.
Yeah.
Yeah, they leave it vague. Yeah. But they'll leave it vague in a way that people are going to draw their own conclusions.
That's it.
In the direction that they want them to, right?
Yeah, that's well put. You said better than me. You got the better words.
Yeah, well, Yeah, if I were to try to say that in French, good luck.
And the other thing, too, is... No words. And another thing, too, that people that will not comply is they want to, like, engrave their Quebec numbers on their firearms.
Oh, you're kidding me. I didn't realize that.
So that's, you know, if you have that pristine, like, M1 Garand, well, you have to put the Quebec number on that. You know what I mean? Oh. And it's going to be by their specifications, so they're going to destroy the gun.
Who's going to pay for that, too?
Yeah, and all those nice Berettas and Benelli over-under shotgun for Skeet that cost $3,000, and you're going to have on that nice wood there. They're going to start engraving stuff like that, or put a plaque or something like that.
You're the New Jersey of Canada.
Sorry?
You're the New Jersey of Canada.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure this is going to fly well with the gun collectors.
Well,
Kelly found the link, so, and I've already put it in the show notes, so we want to encourage everybody to go check it out and sign the petition.
Doesn't take much.
And you don't have to live in Quebec to sign it.
Right, well, I was researching and I signed it.
Yeah, I checked that before, and the condition doesn't say you have to be a resident, so.
No.
So that brings us to what's new in the industry. Thomas.
Well, Ruger is bringing out some really interesting toys. If anybody shoots the Ruger GP100, they know it's a big frame 357. Well, they've actually come out with the GP100 chambered in 22 long rifle. The new rimfire wheel gun will operate the same as the current production GP100s, but with a few changes and an increased cost. It's actually a little bit more money than the standard 357. The new gun will be a 10 shooter. And with a unique barrel length of 5.5 inches, I think you can usually get it in, they have a shorty 4.1 and a 6-inch, but a 5.5 is a new barrel length for Ruger. Also unique to this gun is a front fiber optic front sight. The other guns usually have the traditional front ramp sight, and the adjustable rear sight is standard on it. All the standard Ruger revolvers have gone to the rubber hole grip with the pebble texture and the Ruger logo. The rimfire variant has gone back to the old style with the custom rubber grip and the wood inserts to give it the old classic look of the GP100. The frame, cylinder, barrel, all made of stainless steel. It's not available in blued, and it's got that nice satin finish to it. And it's heavy. It's a 42 ounces for a 22 wheel gun. Nice. It's going to be hefty in your hand. It's going to be the same, probably heavier than the 357 because you've got a smaller bore diameter. As with the other GP100s, this model locks the cylinder at three points, the front, rear, and the bottom. And Ruger ships again with a lockable hard plastic case, and the U.S. suggested list price is $829. So we'll probably see these things retail for about $900 up here.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
that's expensive,
Is it available in Canada?
They just released them in the States in October, so we'll probably see these come up in the next month or two.
I'm thinking that's probably going to be closer to maybe $1,100 in Canada.
Well, you know, for that money, I'd rather get the Smith & Wesson K22.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like better the MMP22.
Me too.
Actually, yes, yours impressed me.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, imagine that, $1,000 for a 22 revolver, that's insane.
The Smith & Wesson the Model 41. It's like $1,600, $1,700.
Yeah, but that's old school competition guns. They're rare. It's a collector's item.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do make them.
About a production gun.
This Model 41 is production gun.
Yeah, but it's more rare. It's more like they use that in.
It's more of the bullseye practice. Shooters.
Yeah, bullseye shooter. You're talking GP100. GP100 is like for target practice. It's not a fancy bullseye shooter, you know. It's a revolver. It's the same thing as an MMP22 for the MMP9. They're the same gun, except one's in 22 and the other one's in 9mm.
It's a lot of money for a 22-year-old gun. It really
so
is.
That's what I'm saying. It's insane.
You're going to have people going towards the Charter Arms or the cheaper ones if they want a wheel gun. They're not going to spend that kind of money for a 22.
I won't.
Oh, I wouldn't.
But maybe, if you have one, like if somebody owns a GP100 and they live by it and they love it. They're probably going to buy it because it's the same gun on the 22, like most people do when they use like the MMP22s, the MP9s. They use the same gun, put the same holster and stuff like that. But besides that, on the standalone, just buy it, your first 22. I don't think it's going to be a first 22 that somebody's going to buy.
No, I wouldn't say so. It's too much of a money outlay, your first gun. And even the GP100s, they've got some popularity with the PPC shooters, but people just tend to prefer the Smith & Wesson's up here.
I like better the GP100 than the 686. That's my opinion. I like it better.
The GP100 or the 686?
No, the GP100. I like it better.
It's a more solid design.
Yeah.
Because you've got the there's no side plate. The whole frame is a solid unit. The whole trigger mechanism just pulls right out. The disadvantage with both this one and the 22 is that you've just got the one mainspring. So it's really hard to fine-tune the single action on those guns compared to fine-tuning a Smith & Wesson. That's going to be the only difference between the two. I love a GP100 just because they're tanks.
Yeah, they're good guns. They're well-built. And they're very accurate. My friend has one. I shoot quite a lot with it. And they're a very accurate gun. Nice trigger. I like it. And for the price, too, because it's less expensive than a 686.
You know, it's funny. They used to be substantially cheaper than a 686, and they've really crept up in price nowadays. The GP100s only be about $100 less than a 686 these days.
I think so, because my friend bought his for, I think he paid $700, and right now they're $800-something, and 686, in Quebec here it's $950, I think, something like that. So.
Okay, shall we move on to the main topic?
We will. So our main topic is Jasmine St. Andre of Calibre Quebec Radio. So I guess we say welcome to the show, Jazz. We're so glad that you're finally getting the podcast back up on the air. I know you and Mario originally had the original podcast, and you lost the episodes when Reload Radio went down the tubes. So now we've been harassing Jasmine for years to get his new show out. So he's finally got some episodes recorded, and he just has to get them back up on the web. So, Jazz, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about your new show.
Yeah, it's going to be like another version of about the same thing as before Radio Velocity Quebec. People who knew that, I'm not a professional by a long run. I'm just a firearms enthusiast that likes to talk about guns, and I like shooting a lot. I shoot a lot. I do some reloading. I play with. I like to inform myself about guns. I don't know. Everything I learn every day, so it's another way to learning stuff, because when people ask you for a question you don't know about it, you research it, and you learn at the same time. So we're going to be talking about that, squirreling off, like talking like a round table in French, like a friend sitting down talking guns. That's going to be cool. But I don't want like to be very political or be very, very like specify like from this time to that time, going to talk about that from that time. I just wanted to do like the most natural possible, like what buddies talking.
So more information based than political based.
Yeah, I'm going to put everything in there. Like if it goes to the politic, talk about a politic, what's happening, like with the registry and stuff like that. I'm going to talk about that. Imagine like you're sitting down at the table with all your friends and you start talking guns. You see what came out. I tried that. You know what happened? I tried that kind of bullet and it didn't work that well. You know, you start talking guns. It's going to be about the same thing, like round table, gunny talk discussion. And I'm open for everybody to want to come and talk on the shows. I want to put it at the like more public. If you want to join in. You have question, you post question. It's all about information and to spread the good information out there. and people who wants to learn how to shoot, or it's not the it's not going to be for advanced shooter or beginner shooter. It's going to be for everyone. So somebody can take something out of it. If somebody listens to the show, what we're telling you know all about that. Maybe in that week you didn't learn anything, but maybe the next week you're going to learn something, you know? So.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have another co-host, or it's just going to be you with people that are coming on as guests?
It's going to be only me with people, friends that they want to join in my endeavor, you know? So I can have in the long run, I don't know, maybe I'm going to have somebody who's going to be more serious and be there, but for now it's going to be me. And usually I'm going to find somebody to talk with, because talking alone, I'm not that good.
Well, you were telling me you're recording with your friend, and then his girlfriend was listening to the conversation, and she ended up coming over and getting on the recording, because she's a really active new shooter, and she had a lot of input into that episode.
See, these are kind of surprise that I'm going to have, you know? That was a surprise, you know? It's stuff like that, like hopping on the fly. Talk and somebody talking and say, hey, can I join in? It's like I say, it's like a table talking guns, and somebody like pulled out a chair and sit down and join the conversation.
Mm-hmm. We have to polish up on our French.
Oh, yeah.
And I need to polish up on my English.
I think you did pretty good. I listened to one of the raw recordings, and I thought it was really good. I don't know her name. I know that your friend's name is Damien, but his girlfriend, what was her name?
Alexandra.
Alexandra. So yeah, she did really well on it as well.
She's like a perfect bilingual, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that everybody did really, really well. I enjoyed the conversation. So. Yeah. I know that it's when it comes out, everybody will be really interested, and if they check it out, it'll be good.
I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Yeah, it's only gonna get better. You know, get better equipment and better everything. The way you structure the show and stuff like that. I don't have show notes, and I just talk. You know, I'm the least professional.
We have show notes, but half the time you'd never know we had show notes until we start talking about the show notes.
Yeah, that's it. So,
now, did your girlfriend shoot at all?
My girlfriend?
Yes.
No, she tried it once, and she says no. Nope. She tried a .40 caliber and gave her a headache. But in that time, I know my girlfriend for 15 years, and... First year, started to go out with her. I only had one gun, so I only have one restricted. My Beretta N86 I bought in 2000, and I bring her to the range, and she shot it. And after one mag, she says, "I'm done." But like 40 caliber is not the perfect caliber for a shooter. You know, they're pretty snappy.
It's a little snappy.
So, introduce her to Thomas. He'll have her shooting in no time.
Yeah, but since then, I've been buying guns, more handguns, more rifle, 22s, and I tried to ask her to come, and she's like, no, I'm not interested.
We got to get Kelly to take her shooting.
It's not like she's she's not anti-gun or pro-gun. She's just like doesn't care.
Wanda's a little bit that way too. She'll come out if we go to the range. She'll sit there and just watch me shoot for an hour, couple hours, whatever, and she'll maybe fire off one magazine and that's it. And she's like, "Yeah, that's good."
I'll let you in on a secret. That was me. That was me last year. And I was just telling you I was a fair weather shooter. Last year, Kevin was trying to drag me to the range in the winter, and I'm going, no, I'm not going. And he goes, well, I registered you for Appleseed, and you have to practice. I'm going, no, I don't. But again, I didn't really care going, and then I went down to Michigan, and it was the competitiveness in me. And that. So I think that, I think that if... Yeah, I know Wanda likes it, and I don't know, Jazz, about your girlfriend, if she's coming to the charity shoot. I don't know if she is.
Probably not, because she doesn't have an interest in firearms at all. You know, like, yeah. she like doesn't care about them. When I buy new guns, I show her, look what I bought. She looks at me and says, I don't care. You know, it's like I showed her a brick, you know, so...
So you showed her a picture of an M22.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up.
And that's why it's very important when you take a first shooter, make the experience the more enjoyable as possible, because yeah. if you don't, you're going to have problems, because there's a lot of jokers out there that are trying to shoot like 3-inch Magnum shotguns to their first shooter, and they want to see what happens, and it can not go very well, because probably you're going to not traumatized, but the experience is not going to be good, and could take you like another 15 years to get her back out again. So,
unfortunately, that's common with some people. Some, not just guys, but some people think it's funny to watch somebody get hurt with the recoil, and that you're just turning that person into an anti-gun person. Because if you take the fun equation out of it and they get hurt, you're going to turn that person off from shooting for the rest of their life.
And you know what? This summer I was how do you say benevol when you work at a place for free, what do you call that?
Volunteering.
Yeah, I was volunteering at my gun range for called the open door, like porte ouverte there.
Oh, an open house.
They had so many people. They were in excess of 300 people that came, and they didn't talk. There was be a that much people, and these are those kind of people who were never shot or barely shot. They don't have any guns, so they had fun. I had this woman; she was like 70 years old, and her was the 1911 45 caliber, and she wanted to shoot only that, and yeah. and probably was nice. Under
yeah, grandma's and, packing a 45,
and after she shot. Because you buy like tickets, and a ticket is 5 rounds of 45, and a ticket I think was like $3. For $3, give a ticket, got 5 rounds of 45, 5 rounds of 5.56, or 10 rounds of 40, 10 rounds of 9mm. So it was like that kind of system. And she went to shoot. When you shoot, because there was so many people that you have to do only one ticket, and after go back in line, because some people can stay there for 10 minutes. Because they give tickets to shoot and stay there. And that woman came back 3 times.
Wow.
And waited like the half an hour line each time to shoot a 45, and the smile on that woman's face was amazing.
So, well, look what we had to go through with Jess. And it wasn't because Luke put a real powerful gun in her hand the first time. It was only a 410 pump. It was the actual fear. She was terrified of it, not because she had a bad experience, but just... she was just scared of the guns, and it took you and I a lot of convincing to even to get her up there and onto the range. And her first thing with the 22, when Luke went to get some extra set of hearing plugs, I suggest getting some sponge in her ear. The poor girl was in tears. She was so scared, and that's something that's really hard for somebody to overcome. But once she actually experienced it and shot the 22, it was like, oh, that's not too bad. And then Jazz put her on the 9mm. And she's like, oh, I kind of like this. So once you get them over that initial fear, it's easier.
And by the end, when the fear goes away, the smile comes in her face after.
She was grinning by the end of it, but just getting over that initial fear sometimes is difficult.
Everything. She was like rocking everything, rifle, ARs, 9mm, 45, 40. She was shooting. Everybody was like, here, try this. Hey, try this. Oh, yeah, give me that. And she shot all day.
It was funny. Jazz put a couple rounds in, and she shot the 9mm. She hands back the magazine. She goes, could you fill it up this time, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And I go out for a smoke break, and I come back in, and Stacy has her on the AR, just pumping away. So, and apparently, Luke got her an AR for Christmas.
Nice. Yeah, and the thing is, she was shooting Luke's AR with a compensator.
So, it was funny because standing beside that, it terrified her because it was so loud. But once she actually shot, it's like, wow, this isn't bad at all.
Mm-hmm. But it's everyone beside you that gets the badness.
Yeah.
It took three of us to get her to that point. Jazz and I at the house talking her into it, and then once we got her on there, Jazz and I worked on her with the handguns, and then Stacy worked on her with the AR. But once she got over that initial fear, now she enjoys shooting.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen too. If we can, we're going to
we're
going to
work on her, Jazz.
Yeah, we're going to work on her. So I had a question going back to your podcast. Anyways, you talked about it a little bit initially when we were at the beginning of the show. You said that you have two episodes that you are looking to upload. So do you have an expected date or anything on when you're going to be able
to? I cannot say a date because if I say a date and I don't make it, I'm going to have some hate mail. So I'm doing the shows, and it's gonna be soon. As soon as I figure out how to link up the other file to a host, like a host domain, and from the host domain bring it to iTunes and to an RSS feed, and after like publishing to iTunes, it's as soon as I figured all of that out, and I'm gonna have some help with George. I talked to George early on before the show, and he's gonna help me with that. So it's not gonna be that long, you know. So as soon as I know how it works, after that it's gonna be like a piece of cake. Because in computers, I can build computers. Like I built my own computer. I know how the system works. Okay, but for the programming and use Windows and stuff like that, I don't know nothing about that. I know the physical part of a computer, but the software part, I have no lot knowledge of programs.
Sounds awfully familiar to me.
Yeah, so if it was like building a computer, I can make that with my eyes closed. But for doing that, it's a lot more complicated. Because before, when we did the Radio Velocity Quebec, mm-hmm. I couldn't ask my brother to help me because we never did it. Because we used to send our files to Canadian Radio Radio, and they would put that they put that in their domain. So they were doing the work to put it on the iTunes. All we have to do is record a show, send the MP3 files like I did to you, Kelly, and he just posted on the site. So we never knew how to do it. So for all this time we did it, we never knew how to upload a show on a podcast.
Well, the good news is that we have shows in the can. It's just a matter of getting them out there.
Last night was not scheduled. I was with my friend. My friend called me up, said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, nothing." So I invited him to supper at my house because his girlfriend was working and his daughter was at his mother's house. So he said, "Come in my house. We'll make supper and we'll eat." And we start eating and start looking at YouTube videos of guns and talking about guns. And and we start talking. And I say, "Hey, we should record this." Say, "Oh, okay." So that's why I was trying to figure out a way to record, but to call myself. So I use my laptop in my room to talk. And I call him on my cell phone on the living room. So I was in one place. He was in the other place in the house. And we talk back and forth like that for almost an hour and a half. And it was all in French, but we talk like I said before, like gonna have a conversation, talk about guns.
I think that's how a lot of podcasts start. Gunny's just sitting together, say, "Hey, we should record this." And the next thing you know, you've got a popular podcast.
Yep.
Yeah. So you think the steps were pretty easy so far, or? To get it up and running, or so if somebody else wants to actually have a podcast,
it's complicated, I have to say, because you have to know how computer works and software and what program to use. Because you can go, I try to look up on the internet, like make your own podcast. I try the YouTube. They explain that to me, but they use different programs, and the way they do it, it's not the same thing. And it looked complicated, and I say,
you know what it is?
Forget it.
It's not, because when I first got into it, I've got a computer background, so what I went to college for was for computers. And it is, it's very, very easy to do. Redonkulously easy to do. The challenging part is you need to know where to go to do what you need to do. And that's the hard part, is knowing where to go.
Yeah.
Once you get there, it's easy. Like I was saying to you, once you have your domain, you just you go where it's hosted, and you point it to where your hosting services are, and you enter your DNS server information. Well, that sounds like pretty simple, but if you don't know, one, what that information is you need to find, and then where to put it, I might as well be saying 2 + 2. You know, it's very easy. It's just it's knowing where to put the information. But I'll get get you set up.
As soon as I learn how to do it, because I'm on stuff that I don't really know. I like to understand everything before, and if I don't understand 100%, I'm not. I may have problems. I need to learn it like thoroughly first. And after, I won't have any problems, because when you reach, you have a stoppage, or something doesn't work fine, or you have a jam, or something's not working. Well, you need to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Or so, record an interview, and neither of your recorders are working, and you lose the show.
Jez, well, once you and I get sitting down with Skype, I'll have you up and running before the end of the night.
Yeah,
it's pretty. It really is quick and simple. WordPress
and the thing is, too, sorry to cut you off there, for the editing, the program, the Audacity program, when you try to edit, I don't understand that program at all. It's like Chinese.
That's okay. It's like Greek to me.
It's like French to me.
I tried to edit it. And it didn't work, so I just like took the whole file, sent it to Kelly, and said, "Listen to that. It's not edited, nothing." And
yeah, it was awesome. I don't think you really need to do much in the editing department. Anyways, so I think that's once you get up and running.
And for the music and stuff like that too. Which music do you use? Are you allowed to use that kind of music? What is royalty free? All those legal issues, and what's the legal issues of a podcast? What you need to say, or the content and stuff like that. I know that before, but somebody who wants to start a podcast must know all those things too.
That's something you really have to look at. Some of the shows will use clips from well-known musicians, and you got to be careful because the stuff's copyrighted, and if they get a hold of it, you could get into a lot of trouble for using the music without permission.
That's right.
Thomas had wanted to use a Ted Nugent song. And so he reached out to Ted's people, and they came back, and it was like $5,000 for the rights to use the song. And I'm like, I'm not investing $5,000 into a free podcast.
There was a couple of artists I asked, and none of them responded except for Ted Nugent. He was the only one that actually responded, and he wanted money. And the other person,
of course, he did.
And the other person I asked was Steve Lee, and he said, "Sure, you can use whatever music you want. Free.
Awesome.
No charge." So a lot of us use Steve Lee, and he's awesome.
Yeah. But I would like to use a – I was thinking a French podcast, a French song, but
– I don't think he has any French songs, though.
No, I don't. I tried to figure out which French song will relate to guns, and I couldn't find any. So probably find something like instrumental or probably just going to take an audio clip of me shooting steel with a 45.
You know what you should do is speak to 10X and record your own, make up your own French song and record it.
I don't think so. I'm not.
That would require you singing.
I have no background in musical, so and I don't have a radio voice either, so it's not going to work.
Maybe we can
just an idea.
Set you up with Mario. Anyways,
a voice for silent film.
Yes.
He's a singer.
Mario is in a rock band. He speaks French. Yeah. Speak to Mario. Maybe you can do up your own tune. That's
anyways.
Good suggestion, Kelly.
Okay. So should we...
can you main else? Events? So thanks, Jazz. We appreciate your time. You going to stick around for the rest of the show?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so events. Kelly, do you want
to... It's got nothing better to do. That paint's not going to watch itself dry, you know.
No, I'm going to
be up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
So, Kelly, current events. What's the our first item on current events?
So, current events, well, the Podcasters Charity Shoot, which is on June 25th in Brockville, Ontario. That's going to be coming up. If you want to be part of that, just message us at New Shooter Canada. We'll add you to the events page. And we're very, very, very close to actually getting up the sign up up and running. But, yeah, we're still not ready yet. But it's very, very close now. We've finalized some details, and yeah, it's looking great. We have a couple of new sponsors that we're going to post on our page as well. Rick Woods, or RJ, is one of those sponsors, so we're going to post that up on our events page. And yeah, so if you want to come, let us know. We'll add you.
And there's an IPSC match coming up. Frontenac has a Level 2 IPSC match on January 23rd and 24th, so contact info at FRPCCA for details. Listener email, George, you had one.
That was info at frpc.ca.
Didn't we go through this three times last week? I had to keep saying that because I was asking for info.
I'm not sure.
That made me think I have to renew my black badge. I have to send money to the IPSC Quebec now.
You know what? You really, really do need to do that. Just saying.
All right, so we have listener email from Charlie Foxtrot. Actually, this came off of Facebook. And did he post this right up to my actual timeline?
Yeah, this is on your timeline.
Oh, and I'm like, I don't know where it is. That's hilarious. Can't see the forest through the trees. All right, so Charlie posted on my timeline, apparently. I did read this. Listening to the latest New Shooter Canada cast, and there's nothing better than three AR virgins discussing tubes. The hot tip. All the innuendos. Go with mil-spec buffer tubes. The mil-spec tubes are built stronger and a bit more pricey. However, they are far more common in the AR community, with greater choices of stocks as a result. And if you stay with mil-spec, mixing and matching within your collection becomes so much easier. The buffer tubes and stocks, big capital letters here, need to be the same configuration. So I'm guessing he means you can't mix commercial with mil-spec.
No.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thanks for the enjoyable cast, A. You're welcome,
B. Awesome. Kelly, you want
to
do the trials
list? Charlie.
Well, no, I just wanted to talk about that just a little bit first before we go on to the next portion of the show. We received a few different messages from a few different people. I think people were all collectively yelling at their phones or their radios at some point, or their laptops or whatever. I do know that I got a message even from Kevin saying, "Hey, mil-spec, there's nothing, you know." So yeah,
and I had every intention of going mil-spec. You know, whenever I hear anything that's proprietary, all I can think of is back in the 80s, Beta versus VHS, and all those people that went and soaked all that money into the Beta system because it's going to take off someday.
Well, Beta's much better than VHS anyways.
It was.
Yeah, and DVD are better than the Beta, and the Blu-ray is better than the DVDs. So,
and everything is going way of the Dodo Birds now that you can get everything on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
I was not anywhere close to the point I was trying to make. What I was trying to make is that VHS had an open format, so anyone and everyone could make VCRs for that, and that's what took off. And same with in the 90s with cloned PCs. You know, companies like IBM almost went under in the retailing market because they were too proprietary. You had all these cloned PCs where you could exactly what Charlie's saying here. You know, you open up a whole market and you can mix and match and whatnot. So yeah, mil-spec was the way I was gonna go.
Well, you can have a fracking gun and have an 18 MOA rifle.
Yes, you can.
What?
A Franken gun.
Oh, a Franken gun. Your franglais was breaking up a bit there.
Or a Glockzilla.
Yeah, But I also just wanted to say, yeah, we're New Shooter Canada, and sometimes, okay, a lot of times we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
And we are AR virgins.
Yeah. Well, you've had yours much longer than this, right?
But I never built it. So yeah, I, you know, when I had to learn, I was looking at A1 or A2 stocks, and I had asked my neighbor who's in AR, so what's the difference between an A1 and A2 and all this other stuff? Because I never had any interest for an AR until I actually fired one, and I really liked it. I'm a pistol shooter. I'm not a rifle person, so.
But and this is why I wanted to build my own AR, so I would understand how it works, and anything goes down on it, I'll know, oh yeah, okay, it's going to be this part. I know how to switch that part out, because I built the thing, right?
Right.
So.
Okay, so should I move on to goals for 2016 for Kyle?
Yes, please.
Sure, Thomas. Okay. Toast, Thomas.
Well, since she cut it and went back, so she's just continuing where I left her off.
So we did ask for everybody to send us their goals for 2016. We got some on Facebook. We also got some messages sent to us in that as well. First one was from Kyle. Kyle, he had actually 5. So let's look at those. Number one is finish his AR. Well, that's our group goal, I guess.
Everybody's goal is to finish the AR build.
So the second one was shoot every single IPSC match my club puts on this year. And you only missed one last year, so that's actually pretty good.
Excellent.
And shoot every single CDP match put on this year. He missed most of them.
What's CDP?
Canadian Defensive Pistol.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
And number 4 was becoming proficient in 25-meter pistol shooting. Ooh, that's a good goal. And number 5 is make progress on the dozen other projects that I have on the go. So those are actually all good.
I think number 5 could be basically every man's goal.
That's the honey-do list or the to-do list.
Yeah, or Kyle list, because we don't have a lot of CDP matches around here.
I don't know where he lives.
I think he lives around Ottawa, because he's always got Ottawa Senators on his Facebook.
Well, that's right. That's right. That's his logo.
So probably the odd.
Or maybe he's an Ottawa Senators fan.
That could be the other thing.
Most people that live in Ottawa are Ottawa fans, I would assume.
That's not always the case.
I can read. Okay. I haven't done much reading, so I'll do Mario's. Hi, guys. My New Year's plan is to shoot better than I did in 2015. Very admirable. Which shouldn't be hard. I plan to focus more on my shot placement and follow-up shots. Now, I'm cutting out here for a sec. Did Mario got his riflements, did he not, or did he come close?
He came pretty close. Rick got his, but Mario didn't.
Okay.
But I was looking at, Mario had been posting some targets that he's been shooting this last little while. Oh my goodness. He's
some good groups.
Freaking awesome. Yeah. Like,
okay, so Mario, you don't put up your good targets at the end of the year. You save those for 2016 so you can say, there, I accomplished it. What I would have done. So I'm gonna let me just continue on and finish this off. Sorry. Then we can talk. 2015 was a good year. Got into CQB, that is awesome. Precision rifle and IPSC. Wow, busy guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and he says, yes, busy year. 2016 should be busier with a full season of competitions. No kidding, man. You are going to be a busy dude.
Is he coming down to Michigan with us?
Yeah, he is.
Excellent.
He's already signed up both in him and Rick.
Excellent.
He did actually send us an event a couple of weeks ago about an IPSC match. I think it's a level 3. Could be level 2. At his gun range in Montreal.
Yeah, I remember.
It's going to be at... Yeah, it's going to be at the end of the month as well. I think on the same week that Frontenac's doing theirs, the 23rd and 24th, or it might be. Just hold on a second, pulling up my calendar. Oh, sorry, no, it's the week after. It's the 29th, 30th, and 31st. So if you're looking at that, just let us know, and we can hook you up with whoever you have to contact about that, too. So.
Sounds good.
Yep.
The next two we've got the same goals. Thomas S. and Sharp 97 both want to take training with RJ. So he's getting really popular. And then Harry the Hat, he says, getting the government out of our faces, ... !! And I would have to agree with Harry on that one.
Now, I got a question. Should we be charging like some sort of finder's fee to Rick? Sending all this business.
He's donating. Just, he's donating stuff to the charity. Shoot, his time.
I was joking.
Yeah. So we
really like Rick and Fire Art Solutions training or fast.
I sent him a message Christmas, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas, and then I finished it off with, did I at least get everyone's name right this time? Got his wife's name wrong the one night, and then his son's name. I'm like, it's Lucas. No, it's this. And he's like,
what's his wife's name?
Jessica.
Okay.
Yeah.
I almost said Jennifer. I'm like, no, where Jennifer came from.
Okay, can I just interrupt for a second? George, what's your daughter's name?
I know, that's how I remember it now. It's like, Jessica. I'm like, how did I not remember Jessica? I got a kid named Jessica. So, I know.
So, who wants to read off Kevin's?
I think you should read Kevin's.
Okay. So, Kevin has 9. That's a long one. So, Kevin said that he, number one, is a minimum 4 service rifle matches. And number 2 is compete in the NSCC, which is the National Service Conditions Championships, is what he wants to do. So I think that's a pretty good goal. Winter Seed Patch, he's
go get it.
He's really wanting the Winter Seed Patch down in Michigan.
Yeah, he would have got it there because he had the problem with his scope.
Scope, yeah, it wasn't tight and didn't notice it.
Because if it was not that, he's an amazing shooter, so he would have made it for sure.
So he wants sub-zero temperatures when we do the apple seed.
Yeah, but again, we're both fair weather shooters, apparently. He was talking about that today, too. But his Ruger 1022, he just loves it, and it is really accurate. And the Aguila, he's loving that as well, too. And he bought himself probably about 1,000 rounds now to take down, so... Yep, we're good to go with that. So he'll get it. No pressure, though, honey. You know, no pressure. number 4 would be fire something with a suppressor on it. So that goal will get met as well in March, I'm thinking, because Brian Sheets is going to be bringing something to Michigan with a suppressor on it, too. So
nice. Yep.
Try CAS. No, I'm not sure what CAS is.
Cowboy Action Shooting. Yeehaw!
Like SAS. SAS.
Well, SAS is
yeah, that's the governing
part. It's governing, yeah, whatever. Okay.
This is important stuff, don't you? Yeah, whatever, and dismiss it. SAS is Single Action Shooting Society.
There you go.
And then CAS is just Cowboy Action Shooting.
You still practice that, George?
Yep.
Once a year.
He loves it.
Once a year. I only made it out once this year.
So he really wants to do that. He loved it when we went to London and tried out your guns there, George. So
are you allowed to fanning a pistol there?
Well, if you want to spend $20 and get disqualified for doing it, yeah.
It's worth the $20.
You'll pull your pistol out, you'll fan it, reholster it, and then they're going to call you on a DQ.
I got a question, George. Is there not a fast draw stage or event in SAS?
Fast draw is one shot. It's not how fast can you empty your revolver, it's how fast can you draw.
Okay.
Okay. So his next thing is take a trauma course, a first aid course, which we both want to do, so maybe we'll sign up for that together. Number 7 is attend at least 2 events at CFP Petawawa, which is his favorite place in the world.
I just want to back up one sec, just go back to number 5 for the cowboy action.
Okay, sorry.
Kevin, I'm loading up a whole bunch, well, I haven't done it yet, but I will get a whole bunch of 45s loaded next time I come to Kingston. If it's okay and you can find us a place to do it, you can fan my 45s.
Just saying.
Are you talking to Kevin or me?
For Kevin.
Josh, you should come too. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. I want to do that.
Yeah. As far as I know, because that's just rapid fire, right? So if your club allows rapid fire, then there's nothing wrong with it. It's just
front neck.
It's against SAS rules.
Front neck.
So.
Or we can meet in Brockville, which is, you know, an hour closer to Montreal as well. So,
however we do it, right. I'm just saying.
Kevin, okay, sure. Kevin,
I got
can,
Kevin.
We can do an event fanning George Guns.
Mm-hmm.
An event.
We can do a demo. We'll call it a demo. Anyways.
What else does Kevin want have on his list?
So I said he wanted to attend at least two events at CFP Padawawa. He's the only guy I know who likes Padawawa. I don't know.
Is that where the Bears were this past year?
Sorry?
Is that where the Bears were?
Yes.
They're all loading the rifles into the car, and the Bears come out of the woods.
Yes. That's where that was. The number 8 is get a good load developed for SR, which is service rifle, and my SA-20. And this final one, because he doesn't have any ARs to build, is this to finish his M1 Garand build.
Awesome.
So, yeah, those are good goals. Okay. Thomas.
iTunes, nada. Kelly's been crying. We didn't get any iTunes reviews. But our Facebook likes have been going through the roof, 586.
Yeah.
Kelly posted a video on our page about two young ladies trap shooting with one girl's taking a hockey stick and slapping the pigeon up in the air, and the other girl shooting out of the air. We got 20,000 hits on that one post. It's been going viral. Everybody,
yeah.
I mean, 450 people shared it. Almost 20,000 people looked. It was over 20,000 when we started the show.
Yeah, it was. So, and it's all about Canadian shooting. You know, you got a couple of kids there. You got hockey sticks. It's winter, and people are shooting shotguns and all that, and they're just having a blast, literally.
they made a little ramp for the clay pigeons, and one girl gets up in the air and the other girl takes a shot, and they had a drone filming the whole thing. And I think a lot of people are going to start trying it, because I've had a lot of hits, a lot of comments that people want to actually try it. So
yeah.
Good video to post, Callie.
It was fun. So, yeah.
Upcoming shows?
Yep, we got a couple that were listed here, so... We have a mounted shooting show that's coming up soon. You guys are going to be working on that. I'm working on a ladies show, which we're going to be having in 2 weeks, and probably building an AR since we've been talking about it so much as well. So, yeah.
So we're going to have somebody come on and go the complete step by step on building an AR.
Mm-hmm. What you need. Maybe we should have had George talk to them.
I've got an idea of what I want to do for that show. That's going to be like way, way out in the future. Because when I get my stock and my tube and all that stuff, I'm going to do a show on that. And then when I get Bolt Care Group, we'll do a show. Like, we'll do detailed shows on each one of those. And then once the AR is completely built, we'll just do like a quick recap and run through it.
So this is going to take as long as Marquis's been waiting for his mounted shooting show?
Which has been a year.
Closing comments. George, do you have any closing comments?
Listen, it's Jessica's fault. My kids don't listen to the show, so I can freely throw them under the bus all day long. It's Jessica's fault because she said, Daddy, I love Grandpa's gun. I want one in pink. And I'm like... The clouds parted, the angels started singing, and Daddy dropped his AR build to buy eventually a pink gun. I ended up buying two guns before it, and then a pink gun. But
so. They're not cheap guns. The buck part probably costs you $600 with tax.
Yep. So, the AR would have been done this year. It got put on hold because of Jessica. My Jessica, not Rick's Jessica.
Thanks for clarifying.
So, comments.
So you're going to throw Jessica under the bus for your closing comments. Nice, Daddy. Kelly, do you have any closing comments?
I haven't got the closing comments yet. We're just getting there now.
George, you got any closing comments?
I got nothing.
Nice. For me, it's the same old, same old. Just, go out and support any of our advocacy groups and sign up and like us on Facebook and, you know, send us an iTunes review and all that. And, yeah.
Actually, I got a closing comment. Nothing says dad of the year like throwing your 11-year-old daughter under the bus.
Thanks.
Thump, thump, thump. Love you, Jessica.
Thomas, what about you?
Well, I was going to ask Jazz, since he's our guest. Do you have any closing comments, Jazz?
Not really. I think I'll say it all. The what?
Don't throw your 11-year-old under the bus.
No, not yet.
not yet.
She's probably, she went shooting with me one time before, and I'm not going to force her again to go. So when she's going to be ready and want to do it, and after that, if she doesn't want to do it, I'll throw her under the bus.
Okay.
That's a good dad. Thomas, how about you?
This morning I was speaking to our friend Chris from NAS Guns and Ammo, and we were talking about the BR-99 earlier that Kelly won. Well, they finally come in, and he's got a large shipment of BR-99s and Model 46 now in stock and for sale. Both models are non-restricted, so if you have any stuff on back-ordered, it's in stock now. And if you're looking for one of these shorties, give them a shout. And I think I mentioned the Model 41 that I ordered on the Facebook page contest is in. So so hopefully we'll have some range time. We have to play with this new shotgun soon. So
we'll do reviews.
Yeah. Throw reviews. Shoutouts.
This week I am going to shout out to my dog.
Renegade.
He's getting my shout-out. Actually, hold on, I got to fire up my phone here. My shout-out goes out to Mike from the Reloading Podcast. And, hold on, phone's got to refresh. Okay, Mike. Oh, that's horrible. I thought it was the other way around. We're losing 6-3 to the Vikings, buddy. I'm very disappointed. I thought it was the other way. I thought we were up 6-3.
Phone.
I blame my phone.
So Renegade and Mike.
And the Green Bay.
Did you hear the last edition of not the last one, but the one before that of Reloading Podcast?
No, I haven't yet. Okay. My podcasts are all backed up on my phone.
What was the topic?
The shotgun reloading.
Yes, I listened to that one.
Did you listen to it at the very end?
I don't remember.
Well, you probably would have because they all said goodnight to me.
Oh, no, they did. Did
they? Yeah. Anyways, it was a little creepy. Okay. I have people doing it out in the East Coast, and I have people down in the States saying goodnight to me now. Yes, I go to bed listening to podcasts.
Makes you feel loved and welcome.
Goodnight, Kelly. I'm
still awake.
My shout out to Kevin Latham. For the fourth member of our New Shooter Canada team, Kevin's done a lot of work with the range and everything else, so I just want to thank you, Kevin, for all the work. We do appreciate it. He doesn't get That's mentioned nice. A lot, but Kevin is really helping us out a lot with the charity shoot, so I just want to say thanks to Kevin.
Yeah, he is, and he's saying there's a lot more work he has to do, so yeah, we really do need to thank him quite a bit.
There's a lot of work, so he is appreciated.
Yeah, because I keep giving him stuff.
I'm looking at his goals list. He's a bit of an overachiever, I think.
He always has been.
It's not a bad thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, he has been, so.
Yeah, he's a trooper for sure.
Yeah, so I gave a shout-out last week to Thomas, because Thomas from Mr. Uzi. To Alberta, just wanted to say thank you to both him again and to Rick as well because of the fact that they're helping out huge with the charity shoot as well. They're coming on board and offering some stuff in that too. So thanks, guys. I think I keep saying it. It's going to be a really great charity shoot. So, yeah.
It's going to be freaking awesome.
Rumor has it I get my Uzi back.
You too, supposedly.
The Uzi, and he's donating the upper 22 conversion kit for the CZ Cadet.
Right.
So if anybody has a CZ 75 or 85, bring it to the charity shoot, and you can use the get version kit and see what it's like to shoot a 22 near CZ.
Mm-hmm. And that's it, I guess.
Until then, George.
Keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking.
Take a kid shooting.
Keep it classy.
Jazz.
Le sécuritaire est tiré beaucoup, sans arrêt. Bonne soirée tout le monde. Good night, Kelly.
Good night, Kelly. Okay, who just did the heavy breathing?
That wasn't me.
That was weird. Till next week. Enjoy the train wreck.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take our guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look.
Hello listeners, and welcome to episode 67 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas Donnelly.
And I'm Kelly Lynn, I guess. I don't know. Should we do that again?
I thought you said you were going to introduce us.
Yeah. No, you introduce yourselves.
Okay, well, then we should have figured out an order to that. Who was going second? Who was going third?
George, you go second. I'll go third, and then...
Third. I'll go left.
Okay.
Okay.
See, we figured it out.
We're good.
I'm going to change my edit point. Way to go, Thomas. Did we lose Thomas?
Thomas, no. We're waiting for you.
Okay. In five.